Turn in Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And while you're turning, I want you to try to turn and listen. And I'm going to ask you a question, okay? What if somebody was to make an offer like this to you? You ready? Here's the offer. I know something that you can do, they say to you. I know something you can do that will bring contentment and joy to your life. True contentment and true joy. I mean, your heart will be so full of contentment and joy. There's something you can do that will bring other people to Christ. They'll get saved. There's something that you can do. This same thing will also bring you treasure that's going to last forever in heaven. And it's going to ensure that God meets your needs here on earth. Some of you would probably respond, man, sign me up for that. Man, that sounds great. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and let's read here about what the Philippians did. And let's see what they did. Does anybody need a handout, by the way? Our ushers are waiting patiently. I forgot to mention it. Does anybody need a handout? You did not receive one when you came in? Okay, I think we got them, guys. Thank you. All right, Philippians 4, look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last, Paul said, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, did you figure it out? What was it that brings these blessings? Here's what it is. Here's what the Philippians did. They shared God's blessings on their life with others. There it is. Now that you expected something more profound, I guess. But they shared God's blessings in context here with Paul, so that Paul could go out there and do the work of the ministry and see souls come to Jesus Christ. Now, last week, we saw the words of Jesus. Paul quoted them. Remember? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we learned last week that God blesses us with resources. He blesses our work with income. Why? Well, it's not just to meet our needs, although that's legitimate. God does bless us, and out of those blessings, we meet our needs, and we meet the needs of our loved ones. But God doesn't bless us just so we can hoard it all and keep it all and spend it on us. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Remember, we are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. And listen, folks, that's renewed mind thinking. Okay, when you go out into the world equipped with that mindset. Now the Bible, listen, all of us have got a certain amount of worldly thinking in us. You know, when you got saved, before you got saved, you probably had years, like me, of just the world's indoctrination. So your mind, you thought worldly, you thought like the world's philosophies and concepts. So then you get saved and Christ comes to live inside of you. The Bible says He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. That where you're not conformed to the world, but you're transformed. Well, how can I be different than this world system I live in? By the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. So, you know, what has to happen is that worldly thinking that I've been indoctrinated in, I've got to renew that. I've got to renovate my mind, get the worldly thinking out, and get God's thinking in my mind, which comes from His Word. So as I get in God's Word and I study it and I hear it preached and taught and I study it for myself, then what that does, that renews my mind. And when I go out into the world with this renewed mind thinking that, man, I'm blessed to be a blessing. God's blessed me to be a blessing. That's not the way the world thinks. That's the renewed mind thinking. See? That God's blessed me to be a blessing. The worldly thinking is, man, you know what? I got all this stuff and man, I'm going to have a big time. I'm going to spend it on me. I'm going to spend it on those who are closest to me, and we're going to take it and use it for us. You know, we're going to build a kind of an empire down here on this earth. That's worldly thinking. But God says He wants to renew your mind to where you live in this world, but you live in it as a child of God, equipped with a renewed mind to be able to look at everything around you. Okay? Now, what happens when I have a renewed mind and I begin to view myself as a channel of blessing to other people through sacrificial giving? What happens when I have that mindset? Man, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I want to share my blessings. I want my blessings that God's given me, I want to share them so that God's work can go forward on this earth. What happens when I get equipped with that mindset? Number one, I'm going to show you four things that happen when you go out with that renewed mind. Number one, you gain the joy of true contentment. You gain the joy of true contentment. Now look with me at verse 10, and let's go back and kind of break this thing apart. Look at verse 10. Paul says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. So obviously these people had given sacrificially to Paul's ministry before. Well, now they had given to him again. He says, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So there was obviously a time period in there where they didn't have opportunity to give to Paul. Maybe they didn't know where he was. They couldn't find him. They couldn't locate him. He says, now you found me and your care of me hath flourished again. Verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He says, look, I'm rejoicing in the gift you gave me, but I'm not rejoicing because I want stuff. You know, I don't speak in respect of want. I'm not rejoicing in your gift and what you gave me. I'm not rejoicing in that because I just want a bunch of stuff. He said, I'm rejoicing, he said, because he said, your care of me has flourished again. But he said, I'm not talking about just because I want this stuff. He said, I've learned to be content. He said, I have learned contentment. You know, there is a major misconception that Satan has planted in the minds of people. It's a worldly mindset Satan plants in people's minds. You ready? Here it is. Look in your handout. Now you can fill in the blank. The more I what? The more I have, the more content I will be. That's a worldly, satanic mindset. The more I have, the more content I be. Man, the more I have, the happier I'll be. The more I have, the more fulfilled I'll be. You know, it's the idea of, man, you know what? If I could just get that raise at work, I'll be happy. If I could just get that promotion, if I could just increase my income $5,000 this year, man, I'd have it made and I would never want another thing in my whole life. If I could just get that a little bit bigger house, you know what? Man, that's the answer. I would be so happy. You'd be looking at the most content man on earth. If I could just get a little bigger house, I know that's going to bring me some true contentment. If I could just get that car I want, you know. How about this one? If I could just win the lotto. That's the most stupid thing. You know, I mean, not only is it biblically wrong to gamble and play the lotto, okay? It violates tons of scriptural principles to do that, all right? You are taking God's money and gambling it away by doing that. That's wrong. But not only that, it's just stupid. Because you guys are like looking at me. But it's just stupid. Because the idea, the only reason why you'd play is because you really think that money is going to make you happy and content. Is it? You know what? You ever bothered to research some of the folks that have won the lotto and how it messed their life up, messed their whole life up? How they are just messed up big time? I mean, why do you think football players take drugs? Why do you think a baseball player who's making, you know, $10 million a year those guys are making, why in the world would that guy go out and get addicted to drugs? I mean, if money makes you happy, if money makes you content, no, you know what? Here's what I contend. You know what? Money has destroyed that guy's life because, you know what? Because he makes all the money, now all of a sudden he's got all this money to blow, so he decides he'll go over here and try these drugs because he's got the money to do it and sustain the habit. So where in the world? Satan's old lie. The more I have, the more content I'll be. Nothing new. It's an age-old lie, right? Eve believed it when she ate the fruit, right? You can have every tree in the garden except one tree. Satan says, you know, you realize that's the tree that's going to make you happy. You realize that's the tree that's the answer. That's the one that's going to make you content. That's the one. And Eve bought it. Yep. I think if I just eat that fruit, everything will be great. If I just eat that fruit, I'll finally be happy and content. She takes the fruit and eats it. Lot, he believed that if he chose the well-watered side of Sodom and Gomorrah, he thought, you know what, that's the answer. Man, that glitz and glamour city life and the well-watered plain. Man, if I can just get this side and leave that old mountainous side for my Uncle Abraham, if I can just get this side, I'll prosper, I'll have all this stuff, and man, I'll be so happy. And Lot ended up losing his kids, lost his wife, lost his grandkids in fire and brimstone. And Lot was a man that ended up with two teenage daughters. All he had left to his name was he had two grandchildren born out of an incestuous relationship with his two teenage daughters. Stuff didn't make him happy. It destroyed his life. Achan, if I could just get some of them spoils in Jericho, I'll be happy. Ananias and Sapphira, they believed the lie when they pretended to give sacrificially, but really they possessed covetous hearts. Do I have to remind you how all those people's lives ended? We live in a very discontent society. Enough is never enough. People are drowning in their thirst for more. The statistics from the Federal Reserve, 2002, came out. Over the last 10 years, debt has increased 123%. The average family, listen to this, spends $400 more than it earns each year. 56% of all divorces are a result of financial tension in the home. Debt is double what it was in 1990. Consumer debt, including home mortgages, ready for this? Consumer debt in this country, $7 trillion. People think that, you know, they're drowning in their thirst for more. And you don't want to know what covetousness leads to? You know, the idea that the more I have, the happier I'll be. The more I have, I'll finally be content. I'll finally be satisfied. You want to know what that leads to? It leads to broken marriages. We just read the stat. It leads to kids who never see their parents. Why? Well, they never see their parents because their parents, you know, the kids are either left to raise themselves or somebody else raises them because mom and dad's out there working to pay for all that great stuff everybody needs. They're out there working to pay for all that great, wonderful, wonderful things that them and all and the kids need. So they never see their kids. Oh, but they're getting all that great stuff. It leads to depression because you can't get what you want or you can't enjoy what you have. Let me say that again. You can't get what you want. You're depressed. If I could just get that, I don't have the money. And so you're depressed because you can't get what you want. But you know what the other side of that coin is? There's a lot of people got what they wanted and can't enjoy what they have because they want more. You know? And there's a lot of people out there, they can't enjoy what they have. They've killed themselves getting it, and now they can't enjoy what they've got. Or their marriage is broken, or their kids are running around, you know, like the devil. And so, you know, they got what they wanted, but they can't enjoy what they have. So they're depressed. Chemical addiction, drunkenness. How about this? Stress from the debt load. Covetousness leads to all these things. In your handout, it says, when a believer has learned contentment, he has a peace in his heart. It's priceless. Priceless. Paul learned contentment through the ups and downs of life. Can I direct your attention, please, to verse 11? Would everybody please look at the Bible? Let's look at what God's Word says and look at verse 11. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. Notice the next phrase. Now, stay with me. For I have what?
Learned.
What did he learn? In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And then he says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I know how to abound. He says, I know there's been times in my life when I've had a lot of jingling in my pockets. Had a lot of stuff in there. He said, then there's been other times in my life, and they're like this, you know. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. But he said, you know what? Whether I'm abounding or whether I'm abased, he said, you know what? I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. You know why? You know how, if you're a believer and you've been saved for any length of time at all, you should be learning contentment. You should get past the worldly mindset of covetousness, the old satanic lie, the more I have, the happier I'll be, the more I have, the more fulfilled I'll be, the more I have, the more content I'll be. If you've been saved very long at all, you ought to be growing out of that immaturity. You ought to be growing out of that worldly mindset. You ought to be growing out of that satanic lie. You should be growing and learning contentment. You say, Pastor Dehan, how do I learn contentment? It's when you believe the words of Jesus that you are blessed to be a blessing. And when you believe the words of Jesus that you're blessed to be a blessing, then you begin to practice the grace of giving. And when you begin to practice the grace of giving and you live to give instead of living to get, now all of a sudden you're in control of your joy. You're in control of your contentment and you're on your way to leaving the barren fields of covetousness and entering the fruitful and the blessed fields of contentment. Giving and sharing my blessings is what keeps everything in this brief life in perspective. Would you all agree with me that our life down here is pretty brief? Now see, my seniors said amen. And my teenagers just kind of went, huh? What do you mean brief? You know, isn't it funny as a teenager you think you're going to live forever? You know, and now I'm 40, almost 41. I'm not a teenager anymore. I know I don't look it, but 41. I remember as a teenager, you know what the main thing on my mind was? Is that clock ever going to get to 3 o'clock? So I can go play, you know, as a kid. You never give any thought to life being brief. But as you get older, don't you think about it more? And you know what? You begin, as we give and we share God's blessings, it keeps everything in this brief life in perspective. Keeps it all in perspective as I give and I share the blessings of God generously. Keeps it all in perspective. Number two, when I share God's blessings, here's another thing that happens. Not only do I learn contentment, I help the gospel of Christ to advance. Now, Paul was a missionary who wrote this book. He's a missionary. He's out there, Brother Rob, planting churches, winning souls, going from country to country. Paul was out there, man, doing the work of the ministry. In Paul's mind, that's what it was all about, man. He's a kamikaze for Jesus. You know, he's out there, he's preaching the gospel, and I mean, he is seeing lives change. He's taking this book, opening it up, teaching it to people. He was a missionary. And according to the Bible, though, even though he was an apostle and a missionary, Paul had financial needs. Look at verse 16. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Why? Why was this? Why did Paul have financial needs? Well, it's really kind of simple, isn't it? Money is necessary for ministry. I mean, that's not a revolutionary thought. But, it takes money to sustain ministry. It takes money to preach the gospel. We all know this, don't we? Can you build buildings and can you maintain buildings without money? No. You know what? I mean, here, some folks, you can't buy Bibles without money. You can't produce Bibles. You can't have ministries that can function without money. Supplies can't be purchased. Staff can't be supported. You know, it won't happen. You say, well, let's just pray about it. Well, we need to pray, but you know what? When FPL sends us a bill at the end of the month, what would happen if we wrote them back and said, listen, in lieu of our payment this month, we're praying for y'all? What do you think they would do? What would we be sitting in right now if we did that? We'd be sitting in the dark, sweating, because we wouldn't have any AC on, and we'd all be just sitting here sweating, you know, listening in the dark. Yeah, FPL, we're praying for y'all. No, we all know this. You know, it's funny how we understand this principle in every other area of life. I mean, you never hear of somebody going to the grocery store coming away mad. What are you mad about? I went in there, I got me a whole bunch of groceries, went up to the counter, and they wanted money for it. All that grocery store ever talks about is money. The other day I went to Disney World, and did you know they wouldn't even let me and my kids? I thought they existed to just be a blessing to me and my kids. And when I got to the gate, they wanted money. All they ever talk about at Disney World is money. Never hear people say that. Went to the Jaguars game, and all they want is money up there. Went to the doctor, you know, and he doctored me, and before I left, you know what he wanted? He wanted money. All that doctor ever thinks about is money. You know, people don't talk that way, do they? They understand. But, you know, here's the thing. Why do we get the mindset about the church that way? Now, I'm just being real practical with you. God uses believers to meet the financial needs for ministry. Do y'all understand God uses believers to meet the needs for ministry? That look at verse 18. Paul said, but I have all and abound, I'm full. Why? Why was Paul full? Why was his needs met? Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. The reason why the needs were met is because these people gave to Paul's ministry. Listen, God uses believers to meet the needs for ministry. Why? Because the gospel has changed our life, and because it's changed our life, we believe in this stuff, and we want other people to hear it. Now, folks, listen. In your handout, it says, because these people gave sacrificially, a great multitude of Greeks in Thessalonica were saved. Look at the bottom of your handout. Because the Philippians gave to Paul in Thessalonica, look what happened, Acts 17:4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, of the chief women, not a few. A great multitude of people got saved because the Philippian church gave to Paul. Did you read verse 16? He said, in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Because they sent to his necessity, Paul was able to preach the gospel there, and you just read where a great multitude of people were saved. In your handout, it says, if the gospel of Christ is to advance, it will only happen through the sacrificial giving of God's people. It's only going to happen through the sacrificial giving of God's people. Folks, listen. The world out there is not interested in giving to advance the gospel of Christ. Do you understand that? Do you understand that Disney World... Now, I'm not against Disney. I'm not trying to bash them. I mean, we've been there, and I understand. It's great. All that. Wonderful. Okay, but listen. Do you understand Disney World is not interested in propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you understand that? Do you understand that Busch Gardens' mission is not to propagate the gospel? What does Busch Gardens want to do? They don't want to put a Bible in everybody's hand. They want to put a beer in everybody's hand. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, I can't believe he said that. Wake up. You don't own a beer business unless you want to sell beer. Hello. Why do they spend thousands of dollars advertising it? They want to put a beer in everybody's hand. They don't want to put a Bible in everybody's hand. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the world we live in. So if we think the world's going to finance the sending forth of the gospel, we're deluded in our thinking. If the gospel's going to advance, it'll be because there's a group of believers that say, it's changed my life, and I want other people to be able to hear it. As you see, the world, man, it's all about accumulating stuff for ourselves. The world is all about us, all about me, all about my little empire, all about my house and my cars and my stuff. The world thinks this is it down here. As believers, we ought to know better. We know to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Because the world and all the lust therein, it's all going to pass away. It's all going to burn up. Number three, when I give of God's blessings, when I share God's blessings, number three, I store up eternal reward. You store up eternal reward. Now, this is a fascinating verse. Look at verse 18. I want to ask you a couple questions. I tell you what, I'm going to do a little different than I did in the 9:30. I want all of you to read verse 18 silently. Just read it. I'm going to give you, 10 seconds. Read verse 18. Okay, you read it? He says, I have all, I abound, I'm full. I receive the things that was sent from you. Then he says, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. According to that verse, did God see the gift that the Philippians sent to Paul? Yes or no? According to that verse, what effect did their giving have on God? Now think about that. Here's God in heaven. They gave to Paul. They gave to the work of God. They gave of God's blessings. What effect did their giving have on God according to that verse? Write that in your handout. It was well-pleasing to God. Isn't that incredible? It was like a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. Look at verse 17. Do you understand verse 17 and what that's teaching right there? He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Man, this is incredible. These believers actually shared in Paul's ministry through their sacrificial giving. Get this statement in your handout. All that Paul was able to accomplish through their giving abounded to their account in heaven. That's amazing. And let me give you the next statement. It was laying up eternal treasure for them that they would enjoy for all eternity. Paul says, I didn't want your money for me. I wanted it for the ministry because I knew that it would bring forth fruit, and I knew that fruit was going to abound to your account in heaven. When you give of your blessings to Crossroads or any other ministry that's teaching God's Word, you know what you're doing? You are sharing in everything good that happens through that ministry. Listen, you share in the reward. That's what that verse teaches. Have you ever noticed how big $100 looks when you take it to church to give? And have you ever noticed how small it looks when you take $100 to Disney World? Or SeaWorld? Yeah, I mean, you ever? We live here in Florida, and so I can kind of use that analogy. I mean, you take $100, man, put it in the offering plate, and you kind of watch it go away, and you're like, whoa, did I do the right thing? Man, that's just, I'm a little radical here. I mean, this is getting a little out of hand, this Christ in me stuff. I mean, whoo! There it goes, and you wave at it, and then, have you ever noticed, though, you put $100 in your billfold and go to Disney World. It don't look like too much, does it? It doesn't look like too much at all. I mean, by the time you park, it won't even get you and your wife in the front gate. It won't even get you in the front gate. Isn't that amazing, though? We don't think twice about stuff like that. You know? What happens to that money? And again, I'm not against stuff in moderation, okay? I'm not against... But when you go and say you drop $500 at Disney World, which you could easily do, you got a family of 3, 4, 5, 6 people, $500 gone, okay? That goes to enrich their pockets, and it's gone forever. You will never, ever see that money work anything for you ever again. You will never see it again. There will be no reward. It is gone for good. But what we give to God's work on this earth is going to provide enrichment and reward for all of eternity. You know what we learn here in this text? God takes note and He keeps a record of every gift. You guys have no idea how encouraging that is to me. Listen, folks. Denise and I made a decision years ago that we were going to live our life in light of God's truth and in light of eternity. We made that decision a long time ago. We're not going to live to accumulate stuff on the earth. Pilgrims travel light. And we made a decision years ago that we are going to go ahead, we're going to believe what Jesus said, we're going to believe what Paul taught us, we're going to put our stock in what this book says. So we made a conscious decision years ago, we would live for the things of heaven, not earth. And I can just tell you this, and I say this just as an encouragement and an admonition. It's not to guilt trip. You may not be in a position right now where you can do this, but it's certainly something to work towards and to pray towards and to restructure your budget towards. But I can honestly tell you, at the end of every month, okay, at the end of every month, the largest majority of our money has gone to God's work and what He's doing on this earth. More than goes to our house, to our mortgage company, more than we give to FPL, more than we give to Walmart, more than we give, you know, to Publix. Publix is right around the corner from our house, so we're always at Publix. And more than we give to Publix, more than we give to the water company, more than we give to anyone else, at the end of the month, the majority of our resources went to God's work. I like that. Because you see, some of you think that's just so foreign to you, because that budget I threw up last week, where they had $33 left at the end of the month, everything went to them and what they're doing. They had $33 left at the end of the month. You know, that's the way a lot of people live. I drop God $5 here, $8 there, $10 there. But you don't live really in light of eternity. You're living in light. You really think in your mind, this is what it's all about down here. This is what it's all about. Well, we made a decision that we don't believe that. We believe the Bible. We believe that it's all about getting souls to Jesus. And we believe as we give, the gospel goes forth, and we believe there'll be souls in heaven. We believe we'll have eternal reward in heaven because of what we've given. We believe what the Bible says. Now, you can think that's foolish. You can think that's dumb. You can put all your stuff in houses and cars and land and property and boats and stuff. And you can put all your resources, basically. You can put it all in your stuff and live and die. And then I'll see you at the judgment seat of Christ and we'll find out who was right. Amen? At the judgment seat of Christ, you'll look Jesus in the eye for how you handled His stuff. I'll look Jesus in the eye for how I handled His stuff that He blessed me with. And at that time, we'll find out who was right, who was wrong. So if you think I'm radical and you think I'm off base, okay, I just believe the Bible. And I believe God's right. And I believe the world's wrong. And I'm going to live in light of heaven, not earth. I made that choice. Number four, when you share your blessings sacrificially, you ensure God's provision. Verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you know why they got that promise? Because they had given sacrificially. Well, I can't give to God's work. My budget's tight. I got all these bills. I understand. I don't have any extra. Well, according to verse 19, when we give, the Bible says, God shall supply all your what? Need. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You are blessed to be a blessing. In your handout, it says, God has promised to meet the needs of the believer who is generous with God's blessings. God has promised to meet the needs of the believer who is generous with God's blessings. Now, there's no such promise to those who hoard God's blessings, but there is a promise for those who hoard, for those who are greedy, those who are covetous, those who think that this world is what it's all about. There is a promise for you. 1 Timothy 6. If you've got time real quick, turn over there, and I'd like for you to see it. It's right before Titus. It's the book of 1 Timothy 6. This is the last thing we'll look at. I'm going to pray. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. There is a promise for those who choose to hoard, those who choose to spend everything on themselves, basically everything, you know. We take the majority of our stuff of our resources, our blessings, we spend it on what we're doing, there is a promise. 1 Timothy 6:9. Here's the promise. 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many what? Sorrows. There's your promise. Now what about the promise for those who give and share their blessings? 1 Timothy 6:17. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Notice that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. What happens to the gracious giver? Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God has promised to work on the giver's behalf in two ways. It's the last thing in your handout. He's promised to work on the giver's behalf in two ways. Number one, He will meet our needs while here on earth. Number two, He will reward us eternally when we get to heaven. Boy, those are good promises, aren't they? He'll meet our need on the earth. He will reward us eternally when we get to heaven and we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Thank you so much this morning for listening to God's Word. I hope and pray it will renew your mind. It'll change the worldly concepts that we have. And we will begin to live in light of eternity, not in light of what we can accumulate down here on earth. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And Lord God, I just thank You so much, Lord, for what You've done in my life. Lord, I just absolutely love to give. It's just a thrill of my life. Thank You for the contentment and the joy and the happiness that You've given me because of that. Thank You, Lord, that I don't have to be frustrated by things that I want, things that I can't get. Lord, thank You so much, God, that You have been able to teach me, Lord, through the years, the joy and the contentment that comes with simplifying our life so that we can give to what You're doing on this earth. And I pray that You'll bless this message, that we'll all evaluate our own lives. We'll make adjustments according to our renewed mind. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.